Genesis chapter 21. I'm sure we know the background of this story we want to read about this morning, but let's give you a little bit of background, starting at verse 9, and amen. Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were in bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. I want you to notice especially, and lift up her voice and wept. But that's not what God heard. God did not hear her cry or her weeping. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Rise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. God was with the lad, and he grew, dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You will remember, this is quite a story concerning Abraham. Hagar was his bond servant, bond woman. Years earlier, before Sarah came with child, she thought she'd help God out. And you know, God don't need any help, really. Really, God doesn't need help. Sometimes we try to help God and get things in a bigger mess than what it would be if we just left it alone and left it in the hands of the Lord. But nevertheless, Sarah thought she'd help God out concerning the seed of Abraham. The promise had been made years earlier. Isaac never was born, and now Sarah's old. And in order for Abraham to have seed to fulfill the promise, Sarah thought the wise thing to do, smart thing to do, is just let Abraham have his bondwoman or bondservant to wife. And in the process of time, there was a son that was born. And what a son he was. There's trouble in the home of Abraham from this point on. And is still trouble with the descendants of Abraham because of this one incident. Amen. You might think that this was a cruel act of Abraham to send out this bondwoman and with a bottle of water and some bread and send her out on her own. But you see, God looks way down the road. God doesn't just look for the here and now. He looks way down the road. The purpose of casting out Hagar and Ishmael, as far as God's standpoint is concerned, was to keep the Messiah's line separated and to illustrate how the law of Moses was to be abolished and done away with. So Ishmael, amen, being the bondwoman's son, is cast out. You can read more about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 4. And Paul the Apostle has quite a bit to say concerning Ishmael and the bondwoman and the servant. That it is a type of the law, the ceremonial law of Moses. So, amen. With that in view, we want to look at some a totally different perspective this morning. I just wanted to give you that because we're not going that direction. I want to tell you that God is waiting to hear anybody's prayer. Hello. Doesn't matter who you are. God wants to hear anybody who prays to Him. And though this woman was an Egyptian, I want you to notice that. She was an Egyptian. So that makes Ishmael half Egyptian. And eventually, the story tells us later down that eventually Ishmael, which is already half Egyptian, amen, takes to wife a full Egyptian as his wife. So Ishmael is more, his descendants is more Egyptian than they are of the seed of Abraham. And you can certainly see the effects of that in Israel today. The Arab world are the descendants of Ishmael. There's been, if you read down in this chapter, the Bible tells us that the descendants of Ishmael, though a great nation, it did become a huge nation, tribe. But God said concerning Ishmael and his descendants that every man's hand will be against his neighbor. They'll be contentious. They will be a contentious people. If they're not fighting somebody else, they'll be fighting among themselves. And man, did God know what he is talking about. I mean, that has been true. Even in history, you can go back and read about the descendants of Ishmael in the Arab world. If they're not fighting the Israelis, before this Israel became a nation, they was fighting each other. And this family against that family. There's always a turmoil among the descendants of Ishmael. But I want us to look at just a little different perspective this morning, if you will. Amen. The Bible tells us that Abraham sent Hagar out with a bottle of water and some bread. And you see, Abraham really knew what he was doing because he knew that Hagar's family was out there in the desert somewhere. And she would eventually find her family, and she did. And she did because her son married an Egyptian. So she did find her family. But now, while she is out there, she knew the desert well. She knew it very well. It was the desert wilderness was not something new to her. She had wandered with Abraham in the wilderness for years. And her family background knew the desert well. But in the process of her grief and her sorrow over her child and being cast out by Abraham, she got somewhat disoriented and lost, got lost. Has anybody ever got lost before? Whether you're in the woods of the National Forest or whether you're in some big, huge city, you get turned around and you kind of lose your sense of direction and you, man, I know this woods or I know this town, but where am I at? Well, that's somewhat the way that Hagar was in the wilderness here. And she ran out of water. She ran out of bread. And she said unto the Lord, I'm going to set this child underneath of this shrub. And I'm going to go over here and cry and weep and sit down because I'm lost. I don't know what to do. And she did. She sat down away from him. She said, I can't bear to see my child die because of lack of food and water. And the Bible tells us, amen, that she lifted up her voice and wept. She cried. She called upon the name of the Lord. Strange as it is, though she being an Egyptian, yet it was not her voice that God really heard. For the next verse tells us why God intervened. You see, you must remember that Ishmael is also Abraham's seed. Ishmael is Abraham's son, though it is by an Egyptian, and he is half Egyptian, but it is still Abraham's son. So God honors that. Come on here. God did not hear Hagar's prayer or cry or weeping, but he did hear the crying and the weeping, amen, of the lad. Hey, somebody say amen. Now I want to tell you, I wished I could get this point across to you this morning. In the church world, I see people many times that is not what they ought to be and not what they should be. And they're half in and half out. Amen. And then when they pray unto the God of heaven, God will, amen, sometimes give them a miraculous intervention or a miracle for themselves. And I've seen good church folks stand back and say, what is going on here? Doesn't God know how they've been living? Come on here. Doesn't God know, amen, that they've not been doing right? Amen. And all of a sudden, an angel of God appears. Woo! I'm feeling better. Amen. It says, I've heard the cry of the child. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, God will hear anybody's prayer that calls upon him. Amen. Help me here. Don't y'all fall out with me here. Please don't. But sometimes we sit, amen, in our pious ways and we see people that we think is not doing all that they need to do and ought to do and should do, and still God, amen, hears their prayer and their cry. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, don't try to play God. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. That's God's business. That's not your decision. I'm trying to help us this morning to understand that God is totally sovereign. Amen. Matter of fact, God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's God's doings. That's God's business. Amen. It's up to you. If you know how to live, you have a responsibility to live like
descendants of Abraham ought to live. But don't forget, there's some that is half in and half out. Amen. And God is waiting to hear their prayer as well. Woo!
I wished sometimes, I don't know how you're going to take this, I wish I could make people do right. But I come to the conclusion several years ago, you can't make nobody do nothing that they don't want to do. I lost you on that shuffle. But did you know that when people are half backslid, God is waiting to hear their prayer just as much as He will hear Isaac's prayer? When the lad cried, and when the lad called on God, amen, help me here. Amen. There are people who know what's right and don't do what's right, but yet when they get in trouble, they know who to call on. And God's waiting to hear their prayer too. Somebody said, well, they're getting just what they deserve. That's not your decision to make. In the natural sense, that may be true. But you see, God's waiting on anybody that will cry and call upon His name. David did not deserve God's mercy by the horrible sin that he committed. Amen. And the murder and the adultery that he committed. David did not deserve God's mercy. But God gave him mercy because David repented. And David called on the name of the Lord. Now, I've seen people in church. I'm not a young fella anymore. And I've pastored most of my ministry. So I've seen people come and go through the years. And I've seen people that in the church that I just wondered if they ever would get straightened out. Up and down, in and out, crossways. Amen. Come and pray. And seem like they get blessed and helped. And then, amen, 2 weeks later, they're out again. Amen. They talk bad about God in the church and everybody in the church. And you wonder if they'll ever get straightened out. And lo and behold, after years of struggling up and down, crossways and in and out, lo and behold, they do get on the rock. They do get God's attention. They do get founded on, amen, the highway of holiness. Amen. And I stood back and wondered in amazement, look out here, what God has done. Amen. I want to tell you, as long as there is breath, don't give up hope. God still does answer prayer. Amen. And especially the prayer, amen, of somebody who needs help from Him. Amen. Amen. Did you know that sometime people, I want to say this, are very rude to church people and to God and to His house and turn around? Amen. And by God's divine mercy, God just has mercy on them. I'm going to explain that. I can't explain some things other than the fact the New Testament said, come on here. The New Testament said, you hear me? You waiting? You want to get this? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering. God's long-suffering goes beyond your reach. When you are aggravated with people and frustrated with people and just throw up your hands and say, they'll never be right. Amen. Help me here. Hey, I hear people all the time saying, I'd go to church, but there's too many hypocrites there. Hogwash. Amen. That don't stop you from shopping at the same store they shop at. It don't stop you from buying gas at the same service station they get gas from. Just an excuse. Amen. To justify your own behavior of not going to church. When you know you ought to go to church, you need to go to church, you should go to church. Amen. But you see a hypocrite. I want to tell you. I will tell you in a heartbeat, there is hypocrites in the church. Hello. There's probably a few in this one. I lost you. Look out now. Come on here. Don't pull up your feet under the chair yet. Amen. Because I want to step on it right hard here in just a minute. Amen. There's probably a few in this church. No doubt in my mind. But I want to tell you, there's some good people in this church. The devil will make sure that, amen, two or three bad apples that are rotted, amen, you can see them and you can smell their rotten aroma. Amen. And all you can see in your eyes is those hypocrites. But there's some good people too. I said there's some good people too. Woo! Glory to God. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples, didn't he? He handpicked 12 disciples. He did it. He did it himself. He handpicked them. Call them. Amen. Commission them. Gave them power over all the powers of the enemy. All 12 of them. One of them become a traitor. Another one cursed. Took God's name in vain. Of course, he later repented and became a great pillar in the church. Come on, somebody say amen. So, amen. I'm feeling better. If God handpicked 12 disciples and one of them was a... Amen. Did not Jesus call him a devil? Amen. Amen. So if we've got 36, it wouldn't be anything out of the ordinary to have three of them. And if we've got 72, it wouldn't be unusual to have six of them. What do you do? Amen. Do you kick them out? No. Amen. What did Jesus tell us in the parable? Amen. The enemy has come in the night and sowed tares among the wheat. Let's go through there and pull up all the tares and, amen, kick them out. Amen. Jesus said, no. Amen. Let the tares grow with the wheat. Amen. And in the reapers will do the separating. Come on here. It would probably be wonderful. Amen. If we had a church of 200 people and not one hypocrite in the church, that would probably, woo, it'd be a wonderful church to pastor. Wouldn't it be? Amen. It would be a wonderful church just to attend. Just to go to. Amen. No hypocrites in it. Everybody doing everything just exactly right. Nobody makes any mistakes. That's wishful thinking. It will never happen on this side of eternity. So what do? We let the tares grow. And then when the reaper comes and the angel thrusts in his sickle and reaps the harvest. Now, the question is, who does the separating? It's not me. And it's not you. Because he knows the tares from the wheat. And he will put the goats on the left-hand side and the sheep on the right-hand side. Jesus said in that parable, let them grow together. Come on here. The tares do not grow and produce wheat. We know that. So it wouldn't be difficult to go through the garden patch or the field, amen, and get a hold of the stalks of those tares and just yank them up. Tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. But in the process, Jesus said, in the process of plucking up the tares, you're going to get the good wheat also. Be careful. Ishmael called on the Lord, and God heard his prayer. It's a good thing. It's a good thing God does not put a window, computer window, right here in the middle of your forehead. That when you are standing in front of somebody talking to them, and you can see on the computer screen what they are thinking at that very moment. Man, be a lot of fist fights going on. God's smart. He didn't do that. Amen. Hello. And I'm glad he didn't. Now it's easy for us to, man, this is unusual preaching this morning. But I want to tell you, it's what we need. I'm telling you. God dealt with my heart about this verse. Amen. And if we're not careful. Amen. Now I want to tell you, we have enjoyed for the last quite a while some wonderful harmony, and we've enjoyed the fellowship of the saints. The devil don't like that. The devil don't like that. And he will sow seeds of discord among us. Amen. That will separate and divide us and cause us to cease to be effective. And there be unity in the Spirit of God among the saints. The devil don't like that. Amen. And if we're not careful, first thing you know, we'll be picking at this one. And this one will be picking at that one. And I'll be shooting at this one. Amen. I don't like the way Jerry Bragg combs his hair. What little he's got left. Amen. And I don't like the way that Matt Jones has got that necktie strapped around his neck. It says Tabasco. Yeah, Ben's got one like it, or almost like it. Amen. You see, and the first thing you know, the devil will get us picking at each other. Amen. When God wants to hear the prayer of every one of us that will call upon him. Hallelujah. This is a pastoral teaching to you this morning. Amen. Now, here we are. We got this bondwoman and her son Ishmael. Amen. Cast out. They're out in the wilderness. They've run out of water. They run out of meal or bread. And now she calls upon the Lord. She lifts up her voice and wept. Amen. She said, let me not see the death of the child. And she said over against him, that is afar off from him, and lifted up her voice and wept. In verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Amen. God did not, that angel didn't say one thing in the world about hearing Hagar. He heard the voice of that child. Amen. That called upon the Lord, heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel said in verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now, verse 19 is where I've been wanting to go all this time this morning. Amen. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a what? She saw a well of water. Now, in the country south of Beersheba, fountains were almost totally unknown. And wells in that area, geographically, in that geographical area of Beersheba and south of there is all desert. And wells are very, very rare. Very rare. Amen. And only those who really knew the country could find the wells. You see, for the policy of those wandering tribes was, don't tell any strangers where the wells are. Amen. It was a secret known only to them. Kind of like the Indians of bygone years out in the west. They knew where all the watering places was, but they wasn't going to tell the white man. Amen. And so, amen, Abraham knew that Hagar's own people was out there, but she got lost. Now, the child cries. God says to Hagar, didn't say to the child, God said to Hagar, get the child. Hold him in your hand. Amen. Amen. Comfort him. Because I've got something for him too. He is a son of Abraham. And God opened her eyes and she saw the well of water. Now, I'll just drop this at you. Last week we talked about Joseph. Amen. And how God took Joseph down into Egypt, though it was into slavery, 20 years before he was ever needed. 20 years before he was ever come to the place where God could use him. 20 years! Amen. Ahead of time, God was working by his providential hand. Years ago, I preached a message on God's left hand. God's right hand is his hand of power, his hand of miracle working, his hand of authority. God's left hand, which we hardly ever see and notice, is his hand of providence that works behind the stage and behind the curtain. And we don't know what he's doing until, amen, the time arrives. God moved upon Joseph's life and brought him to the place at the right time. 20 years later, God, come on here. God knew where he needed Joseph to be. Amen. And it took God 20 years working on Joseph to get him in the position. Amen. And it wasn't so much God working on Joseph as it was God working in the land of Egypt. Amen. To create the atmosphere where Joseph, amen, would be called upon. They would have never called upon Joseph if the situation and circumstances had not developed as they had. Amen. You think Pharaoh would have listened to Joseph when he was down there in Potiphar's house? No. Amen. Amen. God worked in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And 20 years later, God knew, amen, that Jacob and Joseph, other brothers and all of their families and 70 souls was going to need food. There was going to be a famine in the land. Amen. And God sent Joseph ahead of time, 20 years, and worked in his life until he got into where he needed him to be for the salvation of his own, amen, kindred. Help me here. Amen. God has always had a way of taking care of his children. Amen. God did not dig the well. Amen. Come on here.
Amen. Just for Ishmael and Hagar. The well was already there. The well had been there all the time. It was not something new. Amen. God had the well dug by the Egyptians years ago. Amen. And now the well's still there. It's been there all the time. She just didn't know where it was. Amen. And she didn't need the well till right now. And right now is when she needed the water. Amen. And when God, praise God, when God sees you need something, amen, it is then that He will supply it. Amen. Come on here. You don't need the healing until you get sick. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't, come on, are y'all still here? You don't need a miracle until you get in a dire straits. Amen. In a situation where you've got to have God to move. Amen. The well's there. Praise God. The well's always been there. You just didn't know where it was or how to get to it until you get in a situation where you call upon God. God will need a miracle. God, I need help. God, would you answer me? Amen. And when you do, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of. Hallelujah. He'll give you water in the wilderness. Amen. When where you think there is no water. He's got a well of water right there now. I don't know where you are, but He does. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God had a well of water on Saturday night at camp meeting. Amen. Just for Missy Bragg. Praise God. Amen. She didn't know it, but the well was there before she got there. Woo! Somebody say, glory to God. Hey! Amen. And God said, amen. There's water. Drink. Praise God. Drink all you want. Amen. The water's got plenty of, the well's got plenty of water in it. Hey, hey. And I don't know what your need is this morning. But He knows where the well is. Did not that woman... Amen. Did not that woman ask Jesus, art thou greater than Jacob our father who dug this well? Woman of Samaria, are you greater than this, than Jacob our father who dug this well and it's been here all of these centuries? Are you, hey, yeah. A greater than Jacob is here. Amen. And Jesus said what to her? If thou knewest who it was that spake unto thee, thou wouldest ask of Him water, and He'll give you living water that you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. If you can just recognize this morning, amen, the giver of life and the giver of water and the giver, amen, that has all the needs. He said, my God shall supply of your needs according to His will and riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, amen. We are very conscious sometimes of our physical needs or our material needs. And amen. We need a new pair of shoes, or you need another car, or you need a, amen, a job, or you need, amen, this, or you need the house payment, or you need to pay the electric bill. We are conscious about the material, physical things. Amen. But there are things that are far greater in need than just the physical and material. There are spiritual needs in men's lives. Amen. If you never come to the place where you're in the desert and realize, my God, it's been a long time since I've drank. It has been a long time since I've had a blessing. Amen. God, could you give me a blessing tonight? Could you help me out of my, amen, wilderness journey? If I don't get some help, I'm going to die. And God say,
Whew, I'm feeling better right here. God say, there's a well right there. You mean at the altar at Massanova Church? Yeah. There's a well right there. I've been going there for 6 months or a year or 10 years. Yeah. But you have been in your own wilderness. The well's always been there. Amen. Help me here. The well has always been right there. And you're not drinking because, amen, of some prejudice. Oh, ain't I preaching good to you this morning? And you're not drinking because, amen, you got this little, amen, grudge. And you're not drinking because, ooh, help me, Lord. You're not drinking because, amen, nobody loves me. And you're not drinking, oh, help me, Lord. And you're not drinking because, amen, nobody likes me. Amen. And God said, there's the well. All you got to do is just drink. But I don't want to drink out of that well, glory to God. I want to drink over yonder somewhere in some other well. Well, going on your wilderness journey, it's okay. You'll probably die. They'll find your bones in about 10 years from now. Amen. Amen. The wolves that eat the flesh. Amen. And your bones done bleached in the desert sands. Amen. But God said there's a well right there. Amen. If you want to drink and you're dry, and it's been a long time since you've been blessed and helped. Amen. Been a long time since you wept and cried until the blessings of the Lord flow in your heart and soul. Somebody say amen. You know, God moves on everybody different. Everybody's got different personality, believe it or not. Amen. Me and my wife's totally different. Amen. When she gets blessed, most of the time she gets to crying. When I get blessed, I get to shouting. I'll dance and I'll run. Amen. Amen. You help me here. Amen. I don't know what kind of doings you do when you get blessed. You may just want to stand there and just weep and cry. That's okay. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. But don't laugh at somebody else because they shout and dance and run. Amen. Or Jericho march. Praise God. Go ahead. Weep. Amen. Just drink all the water you want and weep as long as you want to. If that's the way you get blessed. Amen. Come on here. Or you may be on the other end of the spectrum and you shout and you dance in the spirit. And you say, what's the matter with Ben? All he does is stand there and cry. Amen. Don't he feel what I feel? Hey, amen, but you see, come on, I'm talking to you this morning. And the first thing you know, amen, we'll segregate Ishmael over there to the side, not realizing that God's got a well of water for him too. Hey, man, help me here. God's got a well for Ishmael. God's got a, hey, God's got the inheritance for Isaac. Amen, but God's got a well of water for Ishmael. And if you feel like that you're cast out and all alone and by yourself, call on him. I said, call on him. Weep before the Lord. Amen. And he'll show you a well of water that you have never drank from before. Glory to God. Amen. The well's always been there. Always been there. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. Hallelujah. And God, I like this. And God, but God, you're not supposed to do that. And God was with the lad. God, do you know who that is? Strange, isn't it? The Bible said, and God was with the lad. When God is with you, you're in safe hands. Have everybody's approval and be out of his hand. Amen. Let's get God's approval. You can be victorious. You can be victorious in the wilderness. But I say, you can look at the hypocrites. And you could probably look around this building this morning and say, I wonder if so-and-so is a hypocrite. And I wonder if so-and-so is a hypocrite. And you miss the well of water, and you'll die. God will take care of every Judas and every Peter. Amen. That's his problem. When the disciples came to Jesus and it had been rumored, oh dear God, help us to get away from the rumor mill. Don't you ever think for one minute that the rumor mill has gone out of business. That's only wishful thinking. But when it was rumored among the disciples that John was going to live forever. Come on here. Amen. John! The other disciples got to yakking that among themselves and they came to Jesus with it. And Jesus said, what is that to you? If I will that he live forever, what is that to you? Come follow me. And we are so prone. I'm in trouble. We are so prone to listen to the rumor mill and the gossip chain. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, help me now. Until we totally lose sight that we are in a wilderness and we got to have a drink for ourselves. And we're so concerned about Jerry Bragg, or we're so concerned about Matt Jones trying to keep up with the Joneses, and the Smiths finally made it. They married into the Joneses. So the Joneses and the Smiths is now on the same level. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you're so concerned about John and what he's doing. Don't worry about John. There's a well of water that you need right here. And the devil will see to it. I'm going to have to get this down this morning, but I want to give this to you first. The devil will see to it that you get the news of the latest gossip about Jack Daniels and sap your victory, because the devil knows that that's going to bother you and keep you out of church. Hey. And it's strange. God does things strange ways.
Jesus. Ooh-wee. Jesus. This morning. Listen to me. Jesus said to those Jews that he was so critical of the Gentiles, said, if you're not careful, this is not the exact quotation, but this is Savage commentary. It's same meaning. If you're not careful, they're going to enter in and you're going to be cast out. Because you're more concerned about what they're doing and you don't get to the well yourself and you've lost out. And they get in ahead of you. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, amen, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mama nor my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Come on here. Amen. And when you come to the realization that you are in the wilderness, the well's always been there, and God's had it waiting on you, but you can't drink of it until you come to the place where, oh God, I want to drink! Oh God, I'm in the wilderness! Amen, it's not Isaac's not the problem now! Amen, I'm in the wilderness! I need a drink! Amen. Help me here. And when God hears that prayer out of an honest heart, I don't care who you are or what your name is, he's going to come and show himself and say, there's the well. Praise God. Drink of it. Draw out of it. Wells of living water. Amen. If you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask living water that you'll never thirst again. God's waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's got a well. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's full of water. Amen. Call upon him. Call upon his name. Amen. And he'll say, there's the well. And lo and behold, God had a covenant and a blessing for Ishmael. Certainly was not as great as Isaac's. But, and really, Ishmael had very little right to the inheritance. But God had mercy. God had mercy. And God showed himself real to Ishmael in the wilderness. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. I'm glad because he's God. Several years ago, I just quit trying to make people do. And I just want you to see that there's a well that you can draw from, and it's eternal. It's a well of water. Number of beauty. Amen. Appreciate you being here this morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's be glad.